Well, like the brother was saying, I'm a tent maker, and it looks like we got mostly home folks here tonight. And I say home folks, I mean the remnant, you know, that praise the Lord, y'all kind of heard my testimony before. But anyway, I'm a tent maker, and what I'm doing out there right now, I'm a maintenance man in a Mennonite academy. It's a bilingual academy, and it's a school from first grade to 12th grade. And what I do out there, I went out there to be a maintenance supervisor, but the Lord saw different and changed me around, and now I'm working the kitchen. So I believe the Lord knows what He's doing.
Amen.
He knows where to keep me, because if I get to walking around telling everybody what to do all the time, I might forget what's most important. But He has me out there doing that work, and it's good because I get to eat free, you know. There's some blessings that come, you know, and I learn how to clean. I learn how to sweep and mop, and I learn how to serve, you know. And the Lord's really blessed us out there. He's gave us a place to live, and He's got my kids in the school, and they're getting a good Christian education. I say a good one, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty good. I thank the Lord. The name of the Lord is being lifted up there, and His teachings are being taught there. I like to see a little better, but you know, the Lord, He's doing the work there. But anyway, what I do is on weekends. Well, first of all, I want to say what my wife does. She's probably the bread and butter of the ministry. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that put us there. He kind of dropped us right there in San Juan area. He just kind of dropped us in a nice house, a 3-bedroom house, and really has blessed us. But my wife, I want to praise her, you know, because she is a virtuous woman, and she's been faithful to me and encouraging to me. She's been one that helped me sometimes in my tough times, and she's given me the word in a good time, you know, because we don't have the bunch here to come out here and get convicted and get convinced and get blessed and all that stuff. So we have each other, and the Lord has been blessing us that way. Also on that subject, we have a sister in the Lord. She's a Christian, born again. She lives in an apartment behind us. It's a little site or a little building in the back there. And she helps us pay the rent there at that whole facility. As I say, the whole facility is just a little house with an extension. Anyway, she this last year, she's a Bible teacher there at the school for the younger students. And she would attend meetings with us every Wednesday, and we'd have the Lord's Supper. And, you know, it was just a little meeting. It was me, my wife, and the kids, and her, you know. And she was really encouraged. Now, she's young in the Lord, and she's young in age, too. You know, she's about, what, in her mid-20s. But we feel that the Lord has put us there to help her, and not just to help her, but the Lord working through us to help her to minister to those kids there. Because, you know, sometimes people need that encouragement. And not that we're anything, but we've come from a good Bible-believing church that got some good doctrines and some good teachings, and you know, I'm sure she has too. But being on her own, she needs a lot of encouragement, and we've been that for her, and she's also been that for us. She's been a real blessing to us. Her name's Annette. Pray for her. Some real good things have happened to her. The Lord's really blessed her. We're grateful for her. Let's see. Also, I have a street ministry. Most of y'all know I took a motorcycle with me down there, and I use that on many occasions. I take it and I'll drive into a little town. I was trying to take that motorcycle and go to all the towns and kind of hit all of them, you know, but I was wearing myself out that way. I was burning myself out in a big sense, because that sun gets real hot out there sometimes, and it was a big toll for us. Maybe later on I can extend that a little more, find a better way of going, but it took a lot of toll on me physically, that by the time I got to the town, I was really wore out, you know. But, and I don't rule out that I'll do it again, but anyway, we're hitting a little town. I say little, it's a pretty good sized town, Rio Piedras. And Rio Piedras is a town that most of Puerto Rico goes there to shop. You know, they got what they call wawas, and wawas are buses. Well, they're vans. And the people load up early Saturday mornings, or just really every day, but we go like maybe sometimes three Saturdays out of the month. We don't go every day like the missionaries in Mexico do, because of the work. But anyway, we go out there, and wawas come from different parts of Puerto Rico. They loads up the people early in the morning and brings them down to Rio Piedras. And we have a great opportunity to get out gospel tracts. Many gospel tracts, they just go out like, you know, they go fast. They go real fast. But that's been a blessing. Sometimes we get to preach out there. I say we. Sometimes I get to preach out there and it gets fun. It gets real good. But a couple Saturdays back. Yeah. I was out there and I was preaching and the people there are real noisy there. I say because they got music going. It's not like Mexico. I see the dusty roads and all that. I like that. That looked real fun, rather. But this is a little more of a battle because those noises and then people throw their ads up, you know, and they'll throw them out at you as you're preaching there. I started a good little message. I thought it was good. Anyway, I started going and then all of a sudden this lady, boy, she starts throwing all her things on sale, you know. And I was against her. I said, I was talking about the eternal things, you know, that are more important. And anyway, so I got a little hot and I had to get out of there. But, there is something happening to kind of wind it down, what we're doing there. Cause like I say, it's only been a year. We hadn't had a great opportunity or, you know, a whole bunch of experience there. But, amen. That's my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law and some of the family there. Praise the Lord. But, there's a little church there that is without a pastor right now. One of the brothers came and looked me up, because I had visited his church in the past. And this brother was in his last times there. And he was ending his ministry there. It to me, it just the Lord sent him to my house. And he came to my house and he told me the things were going on and that he had trouble there. And it's not a real big congregation, nowhere the size of this one. He told me that the church was without a pastor there. They have no pastor. And he asked me if I ever visioned of being a pastor there. And so that was like a real encouragement to the ministry there after being there a year. Because, you know, we can burn out, you know, real fast. And saying on that, you know, a lot of Christians, like for instance here, you have a ministry and then after a while you might get a little tired, a little burned out or something. It's kind of become same old thing. Even though it's God will bless it and keep it up. But what I'm saying is always look for something else. And the Lord, I praise the Lord to for something else. You know, do something, Lord. And he did. And he's opened up this church. They said they were going to wait for me. You know, I don't know. You know, like I say, they came, they even kind of blew me, my pride up a little bit. They kind of said, well, we'll close it down until you come back, you know. And I said, no, don't do that. Keep the doors open because Amen. It's the Lord's work, you know. And hopefully y'all pray for that little church. It's called Hermanos por Gracias, Grace Brethren or something along those lines. But they believe in eternal security and they're strong on not being ecumenical, you know. So they're really checking me out, I guess, kind of. It's a bunch of women mostly, and I love women. Amen. Especially my wife to get things straight. All right. But anyway, so there's a little battle there. There's a little battle there. Not that, there's nothing possible with God. He can do the work. So y'all pray for that little church and for ourselves there. I want to bring a little message. I say little. It has a little, that's more or less, what we're doing there. So y'all just keep us in prayer and see how it continues to go. Nehemiah chapter 2. Many of y'all know our testimony, how we got called. I had a vision of Puerto Rico. I say a vision. The Lord really was using circumstances, his word, preaching, things in my life, a radio preacher spoke to my heart, really broke my heart while I was driving the truck one day, and really, really, just many things. The Lord used many things, but he spoke to me, much out of Nehemiah. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Amen. Chapter 2 verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste? and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Let's pray. Father, we need your blessings. Lord, we need you to do the work. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to speak through me. Remove me from any way that's not of thee. And Lord, I just pray you bless these people that are here, that are going to hear your word. Lord, that you touch them whichever way you want to, Father. And Lord, I just pray for those that don't know you, that they'd come to know you, Father, and see your beautiful grace, Father. Amen. Well, thank you for this opportunity, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, that's what kind of happened to me. When I went to Puerto Rico, I had a week's vacation out there before I went. The Lord allowed that. He opened a door. And I saw the sepulchers. I went to my dad's hometown, a little town called Cuomo. I saw the graveyards. I saw religion, Catholicism there. I saw it. And the Lord spoke to me through Nehemiah. And then the burden came to me. But there was a time, as many of y'all know, there was a time that I was there about 4 days into the week. And I was there and I wanted to escape, because at that time my wife was pregnant with Nehemiah. And anyway, I went up to the mountain there and I was just trying to escape. I guess culture shock, you know, it was just a little different for me. Even though I'm part Puerto Rican, it was just a shock for me after a while being there. And I went up to the mountain and I was just trying to escape. Just trying to escape from being there and think about my wife back at home and everything. Away from the work, because I was passing out tracts and this and that. The Lord, He allowed me to get up there, and I was just trying to escape, you know. And then I turned around, and the Lord broke me. It just right there, you know. You know how you get that heart ring, and the tears just started coming. And it was like Jesus when He saw the multitudes, you know, without a shepherd. He had compassion on them, you know. And it really spoke to me that way. And I said, hey, this is clicking. This is clicking. So you know, when God starts dealing with you, you start adding things. You know, hey, what's going on here? You know, what's going on? You know, start checking out things. You know, don't lock yourself in one thing and just forget that the Lord wants you to press forward. Amen. He wants you to press forward to that mark, that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But anyway, I saw that and I kind of, you know, the Lord dealt with me, you know. And so anyway, that I wanted y'all to see that. That was part of my call. So take God's word is what I'm trying to tell you. Take God's word. Take the counsel of godly men. If you're in a question, well, is the Lord calling me? What's the Lord want me to do? Take some godly counsel. Take the word of God. Take prayer. Pray. I mean, seek God's face. Seek Him through His word. Check out your circumstances. What's going on? Is your field sold? Amen. Amen. Look at verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. God spoke to me and says, hey, you know, you can be a reproach. If God's calling you to do something, I don't know what He's calling you to. But if He's calling you to do something and you don't do it, you can be a reproach. You can be a reproach to God Himself. You can be a reproach to the brethren, to the church. Now, that might not ring really good to some of y'all, but that's just truth. You can be a reproach. And maybe, you know, I was looking at it, I said, well, if I don't go, I could be a reproach. You know? I could hold back some things. Now, I don't understand everything, and I guarantee you that's for sure. But it says here that we be no more reproach. Verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You know, and it says, me and my wife and the kids kind of rose, you know. But y'all were behind us. You said, let us rise up and build. I mean, y'all were there, and I've been hearing that y'all been praying for us. And I heard it from a brother there a little while ago. I said, you know, that's encouraging. I didn't just hear it from one brother. I didn't hear it from this brother, but I'm hearing it from other brethren. These people are praying for me. Y'all are building with us, and we surely need that help, because we surely don't want to do anything without the Lord. And then it says, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, I do want to encourage some of y'all that that you're going to have people that come up against you when you want to do something for God. I'm sure most of y'all know that, but you're going to have people come up against y'all. And you know, some of it might even happen right here in the church, you know. But just hang in there. Just hang in there. Look at verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Gesem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king?" So they were laughing. They were scorning at him. They were saying, "Hey, you're crazy. You're going to try to go out there by yourself? You know, or whatever. Whatever, you know. I don't know how the Lord's showing you, but, you know. Anyway, look at verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build." And then, of course, it says, "But you have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem." But you know that verse, it says, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us." And I'm not talking about a financial prospering. And if that comes along, well, praise the Lord. But I'm talking about a spiritual prospering. I'm talking about a spiritual prospering where I know that I'm in God's perfect will. And that I see things happening. I see a church maybe growing. I see people coming to the Lord. And there has been a couple people, by the grace of God, that have come to the Lord. You know, we got to a point where we were passing out tracts, and then we started putting stamps. And Brother Clay helped us. When he came down there, he was really after. It's like Brother Brian today. He wanted to chop down a tree, and I was all full of that good lunch today, you know. And I appreciate all these brothers. They've just been really behind me. But he just says, "Brother, let's just do it." You know, and I said, "Amen. Let's just do it." So I'll start hacking with the machete, and he was with the axe over there. But the God of heaven, he will prosper us. So I just want to trust God's word. Because there's nothing else to trust. There's nothing else to trust. If I trust just leaning on my wife's advice, no, that's going to fail sometimes, you know? And many times. But I got God's word here. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Kind of want to bring it home now. I say home here. Because a lot of people, you know, they forget that there's a dying world out here. You know, we're caught up in air conditioning and smooth cars nowadays, electric windows and all that stuff. That we forget the sepulchers, you know. You go out to the country out here in Texas and you drive out there and you'll run into some sepulchers. You'll run into some graveyards. That'll make you think. That'll make you think, hey, you know, we're not a people that think just gloom, just death. No, we're talking life, you know. Hey, how many of those people died without Jesus Christ? How many of those people are saved, you know? We're saved. Or that I want to see in heaven, you know? There's some brothers, I say, I don't know if they're lying in the grave, but what I'm saying is there's some brethren that you'll pass on the sepulchers. There's some people that I'm going to see in heaven that are laying right there. Of course, to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. And they're right there with him right now. But anyway, look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Look at verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. You know, God freed us. It says, verse 22 there, it says, for he that is called the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. You know, a lot of times we think, well, because we see the family members or whoever, we see the people going to church all the time. They're in bondage. No, they're not in bondage. No, they're free. And they're going there to hear the things of the Lord. They're not going there because they have to go.
Amen.
No, they're free. They're free. Now it says here, it says, for he that is calling the Lord, being a servant is a Lord's free man. And that means being free means being free from that penalty of the payment of sin.
Amen.
Hey, I'm not, you know, I am free from that penalty, you know. I'm not here working to free that thing. I'm free. And that's by faith. And that's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And by faith in his word, his will.
Right.
What God has written for us. I mean, you got a father. He'll write you a will. And he says, well, I'm going to give you this and that. And here it is written. And you say, hey, I want to get that one day. Well, God says I have eternal life because I've trusted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hey, it's written down. I'm getting it. I have it now. I possess it.
That's right.
I'm sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But also it says, likewise, also he that is called, verse 22, being free is Christ's servant. We are called to serve. We're called to serve however way the Lord's showing you. We're called to serve. We are servants. A lot of us want to be leaders and there's leaders in Christ's service too. Amen. But a lot of us just want to be on top and want to be noticed and that really disturbs me, you know. I appreciate when someone comes up to me and says, hey, that's a blessing, brother, and that's good, and praise the Lord. And I want to give the glory to God. I don't want to be known as nothing. But we are, look down there, it says, we are Christ's servants. It says, you are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Now, you know, there's a time to serve men too, you know. But what it's saying is here, what are we doing our ministry for? What are we doing our ministry for? I'm going to tell you what. You go somewhere, no one sees what you do, you know. I'm talking about you go somewhere, they don't see what you do. And they'll pray, you know, people pray and all that. The thing is, if you're going to serve the Lord somewhere else, they might see you. They might have a way. They might go visit you and see what you're doing. But what I'm saying is, you got to be ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a servant, not to be servants of men. Amen. Look at Ephesians 3. Kind of zip through this real quick. Ephesians 3. Paul was in prison. Paul was an apostle that ended up in prison. And, you know, it spoke to me, this verse here. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then he says, for you Gentiles. Look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
Amen.
You know, I thought that really came to me as a great revelation for me personally, that I was a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened mainly when Clay came. You know, San Juan, as you wait for someone at the airport, it's not like here, you go to the lobby and you wait for the person to come in through the lobby. No, you stand outside behind glass windows and you see the people coming in off the plane from a distance. Or not off the plane, but coming in through their lobby or what have you. You don't go in because they're, you know, they just have a tight security. I say a tight security, that type of a security thing there. But when I saw Clay, I saw one guy that looked like Clay from a distance, you know. And my wife said, that looks like Clay there, you know. And I said, nah, that ain't Clay there, you know. Because I got glasses. She's got one eye that's kind of weak. I said, no, that ain't Clay. But then Clay showed up. He kind of wandering around, you know, just kind of wandering around and stuff. And I said, there he is. That's Clay. And I got excited and I threw that glass window, you know. Hey, Clay, you know, I'm even yelling, but he can't hear me. I'm just, you know, it's like a prisoner that, praise the Lord. It's like a prisoner, you know, but I'm a free man. My sins have been forgiven and I'm there for a reason. But when he came, you know, praise the Lord. Last night I brought my handkerchief and tonight I didn't bring it, you know, or the other night anyway. But anyway, I was wondering, are we prisoners? And it's not in a physical sense. I'm having a good time. It's a challenge. I like challenges. We ought to take up some challenges in life. Many of us just want to kind of let things soothe us, you know. Many of us just want things to, you know, just us. Me, I, you know. But we ought to learn how to be a prisoner. Where's the Lord have you? Sometimes it feels like a prison, don't it? I'm talking about you missionaries that are doing the work for God. And some of these missionaries been around a lot longer than I have. Someone had a part of my salvation. But sometimes you feel like you're in a prison. But then we're God's free men. You always remember that. You're there to serve the Lord. Now let me ask you that you have a job, a secular job. You have a job you're doing. You have something you're doing. Are you God's free man?
Amen.
I mean, are you God? Yeah, amen. Are you God's prisoner?
Amen.
Are you ready? Does God have you in that cell? Does he have you in that cell? And when the right person comes by, you're ready to give him the word or something at your work? Are we our own that we just kind of, well, maybe next time, you know. I mean, when God touches you, you know, sometimes we just do it, and it's good. That's good. But I'm talking about being in his prison, being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33. I think about my mother. She almost came this morning, and she almost came tonight, but she didn't come. But I praise the Lord for these relatives of mine that did come. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. He says, and you shall warn them from me. Not for me, he said from me. And the Lord's coming. He's coming with wrath. And we need to warn him. Look what it says in verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You know, people are dying in their sins. People are dying in their sins, and we need to warn them from God. Maybe not so much from him, in a sense where, well, we gotta warn him from God in that sense, but from his wrath. Warn him from his wrath and warn him to salvation. Look at verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want you person that are without Christ. He doesn't want you dying in your sins. He says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, sometimes I think about this message and it comes out straightforward. And sometimes it's hard even for me to preach because I like to preach things that make everybody happy, you know? I like people happy. But we need to tell them, we need to warn them from the wrath of God and how they can be saved.
Amen.
And how they can know that they're saved and not have that fear of dying in that sinful condition. He says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. That's what he wants. He wants that wicked person. He wants that person. It's not that the person is so wicked. It's sin. It's sin in the life of a person. God loves the person. God loves the soul, but he hates the sin. He wants that person to turn, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. You know, when I was in sins, when I was living in the flesh, when I was living without Christ, I wasn't really living. I was dying.
Amen.
I was dying in a sinful condition. And I knew at that time when God brought me to the beginning of his grace, I say beginning in my life anyway, when he brought me to that point, I have been bad in my past. But you might say, well, I'm better than you, youngster. I'm better than you. I've lived a better life than that. No, all have sinned and come to show the glory
right.
of God. All. He says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And one last text there in Matthew. Matthew 11. He's not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. I was talking to my brother today, and the brother gave me this verse. I don't know if I can expound it as well as he did, but let's read it. Verse 28, verse 28 through 30 of Matthew 11. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor, this is Lord Jesus Christ, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he gave me the example of an ox, you know, and he put the yoke on them, you know, and these yokes are tamed. And God wants to, you that are heavy laden, you that are burdened, you Christians that are burdened in maybe a sinful condition, you that are lost, that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He wants to tame you. He wants to tame you. He wants to put that yoke on you. He wants to put that yoke on you so he can guide you and lead you, however he sees necessary. He says there in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many times we do work, we do things for the Lord, we don't seek God's face. Like I say, like they were saying, you ought to pray before you come to the meetings, you know? You ought to pray for the preacher. You ought to pray for the preachers, the singing, whatever goes on. You ought to pray for the Lord. You ought to pray that the Lord would be there. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of us, we want to do it in our own strengths. And that's why, that's when it becomes hard and rough and it just gets to be a drag. You know what I'm saying? So let's take the advice of the word of the Lord, and I sure thank you for the opportunity to share the message to y'all.
Amen.
We do plan on leaving middle of next week sometime. So we'll be in and around. So we ain't gone yet. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.